Okay, today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Another name for that is communion. And the reason for celebrating the Lord's Supper today instead of last week or next week is because today is World Communion Sunday. Its special emphasis throughout the world is that we, the body of Christ on earth, are one. And so we celebrate that oneness. We celebrate together, all together on one day. To point out to ourselves and to the people around us, we are part of each other. Earlier in the service, we read portions from the Belhar Confession. A statement of what is out there, the separation, the differences that we have, and how we ought to be coming together, how we ought to be one. And so I hope you noticed where the confession named some of our differences. Talk about language and culture and color and all of those things. And then it started to list the things that we're alike, the things that we share. And it listed what we ought to do about our separation and the differences between us. We need to overcome those differences. We need to recognize that we are part of one another. Now, this isn't something that we need to accomplish, it's something that has already been accomplished. If we are Christians, then God dwells in us, and we are, in fact, already brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God. So it's not a matter of us becoming one. It's a matter of us recognizing that because we are one, that we ought to come together. Of course, a confession like that is just a lot of good words. Unless we understand the meaning behind them. And they have significance only as much as they have authority with which they're spoken. And our authority for those words comes right out of Scriptures, the Word of God. If you care to follow along, Ephesians 4 is on page 1158 in your pew Bibles. We're going to start at the second verse. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of it all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. So there are those words telling us how we are already one. We just have to realize it. And so we're challenged as a community and as the community of the church to be one. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul compares the relationship of Jesus with his church to that of a man and his wife. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Notice that's in the past tense. Loved. And he already did this. A man and his wife, when they go into a marriage, there is, or at least there should be, a commitment that has already taken place. And then it's up to us as married couples to live out that commitment and to make it work. And so Jesus says, the church is my bride. We are already one. The commitment has been made. We just have to continue to make it work. And so it is in the church where we show our commitment to God. It's in the church where we show that we are one with one another. And so if we're not part of the church, if we're not gathering together, if we're not doing the things of the church, then how do we show that we are committed? How would you know that Connie and I are married? Well, first of all, we tell you. Maybe you see the ring on my finger. But do you really believe it until you see that we live together and how we relate with one another? If I were to say I'm married and you never ever see me treat my wife as a wife, you'd just kind of blow it off, wouldn't you? And so it is with the church. We, the bride of Christ, He's committed to us. Do people see that we are committed to Him? Or are we the unfaithful spouse? You see, we are one. How do we show it? So now, do you, and this is a question to each one of us, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or answer it out loud, but do you see the church united as your family? Do you find comfort from these people in this congregation? Is this a group of people that you would like to spend time with? Is this where you come when you need comfort or help, support? Or do you look elsewhere? And I'm afraid that the answer to these questions is all too obvious. How many people claim to be part of this church and never show up? Or show up only sporadically? If we wanted to spend time together, we would spend more than 70 or 80 minutes a week together, wouldn't we? If one of our number was sick, or hurting, or in jail, the hospital, would we, as part of the family, go visit them or help them out? If two of our number are arguing and fighting with each other and can't be in the same room together, wouldn't we be interceding between them and saying, hey, let's help this? Wouldn't we be praying for them and saying, God, help us, our family? Is any one of us supporting the other people around us because we are already the family of God? You see, when people look at the church and they see that each individual is cared for and loved, they'd say, wow, I'd like to be part of that. But when they see what some people call a church that is only dispersed, separated people that happen to meet together in a building once a week for a short time, they say, so, what do I care about that? There's nothing there that I need or want. And so they have no desire at all to be part of the family of God. God's commitment is already in place. I'd like to turn, first of all, to a short passage from Matthew 28 and then to John 14. Matthew 28, Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, that commitment has already been made. Jesus is with us. But in John 14, starting at the 16th verse, it says this, and this is Jesus, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now hear that. You see, if you are not a believer, you can't imagine being a believer. You can't believe that this is a real thing. It's not until you believe in God and you accept Jesus as your Savior that you become part of His commitment to us and make your commitment to Him. And then you can know Him. It says, Jesus said, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, this is Jesus, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You see, God has already formed His church. But God never makes us do what we don't want to do. So He leaves it up to you as an individual. Do you want to be part of His church? Now, we all know people, and maybe some of us are this way. I can't do this until I quit smoking, I quit drinking, I leave off drugs, whatever. No. You come to Jesus. And He makes it possible for you to do those things. You can't do them on your own. I can't do them on my own. You see, we're just human. And we can't fix ourselves. So don't wait until you're fixed to come. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians 5. It's page 1145. Starting at the 16th verse. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him that way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, all of those things that we want to fix, we can't fix them. It's Jesus, the Christ, who fixes them and makes us a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is reconciliating. Getting back together with. And so that's, we're separated from God, now we get back with Him again. Okay, that's what He's talking about. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, getting back together. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. That's to other people. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. See? Be reconnected with God. And He uses people to make that happen. And so if you're not out there connecting with people and with God, then are you part of the family of God? Listen to this description of the early church. This is in Acts 2, page 1079, starting at the 42nd verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Do we do that? Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Now, don't misunderstand. This is not an example of what we have to be. God doesn't call us to live in a commune and to put all of our possessions together and to spend all of our time together. This is a description of one incident in the history of the church of how they did it. And there's some really good examples here. Some people needed help. Others sold what they had so that they could help them. They got together and they fellowshiped together. That's what we do when we have our potluck. And hopefully other times. You see, these people made an effort to be part of one another. And that's what I'm asking us to do. To be. To reach out to those who aren't part of us yet. To reach out to those who have been part of us and have wandered away. To teach our children, and maybe our parents, and our brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, that God has already made a commitment. And it's up to us to say, yes, Lord, I want to take you up on that. And so today, we, as the local church, as part of the body of Christ, other churches in the community, other communities in the state, in the country, and the world, we, the family of God, celebrate that we are part of one another because we are the family of God.